WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. Welcome to one of the last episodes of BRB UK for the year. It's episode 572. We're limping towards the end of 2023, which means we have to do our contractually obliged recap and best slash worst slash kind of indifferent of 2023. I'm Dan, one of your hosts. Merry festivities of whichever kind you are currently enjoying, even if it is just a Thursday. That's a perfectly great day to celebrate for being the ideal filling in a Wednesday-Friday sandwich. Talking of ideal fillings in sandwiches, Tim, what's your favourite sandwich filling?
Ooh, it's hard to get away from bacon, I think. Like, BLT is just a good
classic. It's hard to get away from bacon. Does it chase you down dark alleyways at night? No, you and your salty, smoky goodness.
If it's a hot sandwich or a cold sandwich, you're good with bacon. You know, like it's a.
I would argue a hot bacon sandwich is the preferable way to go.
Yes, yes. But cold bacon's still, you know, better than most sandwich fillings.
All right, well, Coleman, I'm going to ask you. Hello, by the way. Hello, Coleman.
Hi.
What's your favourite sandwich filling? This, right, it is the hot topics of video game news once again this week. Favourite sandwich filling, go.
Well, if it's a regular sandwich filling, then it would have to be Coronation Chicken. However, if it was a Christmas sandwich, then it's going to be leftovers with Piccalilli.
Now, you see, I like where you're going with that. Piccalilli is a massively underrated condiment, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love the stuff.
I love a bit of
piccalilli. Back in there, when I used to work in a supermarket, and I had to work a shift over Christmas, it was the year of the infamous Branston Pickle Factory fire, where UK ran out of Branston Pickle and Branston products. I just, all day long, people asking me, piccalilli. Like, nope, none of it.
That little Yuletide treat of a story right there.
It's the two great fires that have affected this show in some way. It's the Branston Pickle Factory fire, and it's the Nintendo 3DS Repair Center fire that melted John Brady's Animal Crossing 3DS.
He still hasn't got over it, you know.
Those poor,
his only solace was a big
residents.
Jar of piccalilli, and sadly for him. It all went terribly wrong.
I'm screaming in pain.
Yes.
Well, yeah. John.
Yeah, we probably ought to, because we're doing some special end of year ones, and because they're special end of year, we're recording them at slightly unusual time, which means Tim is very upset about this fact. We are going to be doing slightly shorter shows. Which is troubling because Tim doesn't do that.
We do at the end of the year, every year, so we can have a few weeks off from the show. We started a little bit later than usual. Usually we'd be off by now.
So
we're going to be further in January than we are in December.
Yes, indeed. So this is 572, episode 572, just in case I'm saying that, 572, in case I said at the top of the show, Coleman, I might have said 573. So this is for future Coleman, me repeatedly saying the number 572 in case I said 573.
Are we using AI Dan for replacement words?
572. Hi, I am Dan. This is the BRB UK podcast. We are now powered by AI.
I used one of those for some freelance work recently. No. It actually worked out a treat.
Oh dear. Don't do it.
No. Real voiceover person only had like two takes, mispronounced some words, didn't have time to get them to re-record, so fed their voiceover into an AI generator, used text to speech to get the correct words, blended it with the original word, worked a treat.
Your petrol station never ceases to amaze me. The things you do
in that freelance.
Freelance petrol station. You just spray people with gasoline as they walk past.
I do this stuff for freelance as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, okay then. Right, fine. We are going to talk. I'm going to just start huffing about that Coleman's cheating on me and Tim with other people in the realms of recorded internet.
Not podcast stuff.
No, yeah, it's fine. But the main thing is, you know, just as long as you're thinking about us while you're doing the other podcast, that's all we care about,
It was promotional materials for a book, if you must know.
Say hello to Brady for us.
Yeah.
Not for Brady.
Oh, the betrayal cuts even deeper. Right. Okay. So about this time last year, every year what we tend to do, our what we call our ones to watch. Now, I will hasten to add, ones to watch is not the same as things we think might be good. Okay.
They are, but this year Dan has decided that's
Dan's
not the
decided
case.
He's not good at so bad at picking them, he's gonna change the rules.
Because just at when least think, one and a half of my three I Dan picked last year are arguably dog poo, is basically what I'm saying. Right, we one should get three. Into it. So shall I fall on my sword first?
Go for it.
About
I
the
think
thing that the ones I picked
me or Coleman did this year, but still.
Yeah
well,
out.
Tim, you yeah, actually one. Did all right, apart from the middle one, I would say. And
well, no, because my third one didn't
no,
come out.
No, because one of them didn't
so,
come out.
That's yeah. a good point, actually. So am I, hang on.
Just get on with it.
No.
All so yours I, came out, that's what we're saying.
All mine
yes,
came
you did
out,
best, which
I'm
is
great.
Why it's even funnier that you're changing the rules when you actually don't need to actually
no,
get
no,
an
no,
advantage
no, 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 because
Coleman,
I think
but,
some
you know,
of the ones
no,
I
no,
picked,
no, let's change the rules,
the ones
fine,
to watch,
then.
They
okay.
successfully came out and went, oh, look, I watched them come out. Well, anyway, the first one, Forspoken, utter garbage. I'm ashamed of myself. It's This could have been so good at a wonderful setting and really interesting bits of characterization that they showed in the trailer. However, then your kind of disembodied goon that you had with you was quite possibly the most annoying thing since Giles Chandreth hit the airwaves. And yeah, it was just basically a massive disappointment for me. I played the demo. The demo offended my sensibilities so much. I went, no, sir, I will not pick up your game, even when it's on sale for a questionably low price. I shall not do that. So anyway, all I can say is I was looking forward to Forspoken. The demo broke me, and I refuse to look at it anymore.
Oh.
Coleman,
I really
however.
Like this game.
Yeah,
I really like this game. A lot of people were very annoyed with this game, and judging by some of their Twitter accounts, I think you'll find a lot of the people that don't like this game don't like women protagonists or people of color.
Okay, well, clearly that's me.
Oh,
that's
where I didn't realize that was the angle you were going with, Dan. Okay. Misogyny
nice,
and racism.
Guys, apart from the extremely... I was going more cookie cutter, mildly unoriginal gameplay and terrible voice acting
no,
and script writing. But,
I'm
you want to throw me under the bus...
That was not
Thanks.
To throw Dan under the bus. That was to say someone brought that point up to me and I was like, do you know what? I don't believe it, but actually that's quite a good one. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use that at some point.
Excellent. Good. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I understand why it's not for everyone. There's... I think it could benefit from more story stuff to it, although a lot of the things that people seem annoyed with, that there's a lot of filler between the story and that they don't like the voice acting and the writing of the main character, because the main character is meant to be like a modern day person in a kind of medieval fantasy age, and they seem really out of place, and that's by design.
Yeah.
But it's that thing that people call Marvel writing or Disney writing. It's the everyone's quipping, everyone's it's not subtle. But I liked it, so
yeah. I nearly picked up a copy the other day because it's quite cheap at the moment. But yeah, I didn't quite. But I like.
I've got other stuff I need to play, like Baldur's Gate. I walked in on an ogre shagging a troll. It was very confusing.
In the game or.
So next ones are, so the other ones I put out there, I'm just going to crank through mine, Tim.
Go for
now,
it.
Now, these, this one, I don't think I can inadvertently have any accusations of, I think I can't. Thanks, Coleman.
What?
For now making me doubt everything I say and how it could be misconstrued. Thanks.
Isn't white guilt fun?
Forza Motorsport. There we go. Hey. Where's my other one to watch? Forza Motorsport. Now, look, it's a Forza game. I enjoyed this a lot initially because I think I'd just been jonesing for some more track-based Forza. There's just something about the kind of car customization, that I slightly prefer over Gran Turismo. And yeah, it's a massive uplift over Forza 7. However, it's got a little bit jankier, it seems, as time goes on. There's kind of things that should be patched that haven't been patched, like some pretty seizure-inducing video glitches. So, there's just something about it. It created a good first impression, but I think it kind of, everything it had to offer was kind of done and dusted and really just expects you to, although they said, yeah, every race will be different, you know, the constantly evolving events to do all of the time, it just feels that they're not really leaning into that side of things enough. And it just feels like, okay, you know, it kind of feels a bit like really you're just doing the races and then that doesn't even matter. There's no kind of overarching career progression, at least kind of in the less multiplayer side of things. So a little bit of a disappointment in some ways. They say it's a game that they're going to be, you know, very much embracing the live service model on. I think they've got aspirations to make it like the Microsoft Flight Simulator of driving games, of course, with cars and no flying, Tim, before you start mouthing off. It was a thing. It was a thing. Forza Motorsport. It's still okay. I still enjoy driving cars around the track, making go vroom. But could have been so much more.
Did you see the Digital Foundry thing the other day where they went in depth of
that versus Gran Turismo?
Yeah, Gran Turismo.
I have watched
Forza.
A bit of it. I haven't watched all of it yet. And you can question me about it at another time. But I'm aware
it's
of the winds of future coal, man.
But yeah. No, it looked good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's a shame that it's not stayed at that lofty heights because you were incredibly hot on this when it first came out. I remember the point where I was meant to cancel my, and I did end up canceling my Game Pass, but you told me I should probably keep it so I could play Forza. And I didn't. Yeah. I did not heed your advice, but it's a shame it's dropped off.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a look, but I was expecting kind of the things they were saying made me think that it was going to have a bit more legs to it. And it seemed initially out the gate that there was a chance they might do that, but
it's wheels you want on cars, Dan, not legs.
Thank you, Tim. Yes,
unless
the whole problem is, yes, it was Flintstones cars. That's where it all went wrong. They required legs.
That's where it went wrong. What's the next one?
I mean, it's still a perfectly acceptable driving game. I think it's nice to have on your list of things installed in your Xbox if you've got Game Pass, but did it live up to the checks their mouths were writing as they were kind of hawking this game to everyone? No, I don't think it was.
Don't write checks with your mouth either. That's
No. Although, you know,
technically, you've got no arms.
No, you can that's just acceptable. Legs. Just legs. Just trying to write checks with your legs is quite difficult. anything can technically be a check.
Yeah.
Technically anything could be a check.
Especially if you're from Czechoslovakia.
I could write on the side of a pig,
it's not a thing
for Tim,
anymore.
Like please pay the bearer of this pig £10. This is for Tim Hibbs from Dad. You can do that. You know, anything can technically be a check,
right?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think that's more of an IOU.
No, I think most things
IO
be a check.
Pig.
I'm fairly sure. I just want to see if anyone can report back and go, look, I tried to take some farmyard animal down the bank. Scrolled, look, please pay cash, £15.
I don't think they'd fit
they wouldn't accept
underneath
it.
The thing to get to the teller. Like you'd have. To...
I mean, I don't think that's probably where this whole thing's going to fall apart, Tim, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be you appear to have bought a pig into a bank. Anyway,
I mean,
Colin's giving
it's all
me the
very
look,
interesting
so gonna...
stuff, but could we get to the third of the
third
first
of
round of the games
right.
You picked last year?
I'm just trying to shy away from the fact that I bought ones that really kind of crashed and burned and talking.
Just trying to shy away that I've been writing on pigs again.
Yeah, exactly. David Cameron, however, very happy about this situation. Yeah, he's only interested in the pick, but anyway. Diablo 4 was my last one. Again, lots of promise, which it didn't live up to. I haven't even bothered playing the second season because the first season was so, does it matter? Again, it could pull itself up by the britches, much like Diablo 3 did after its... I mean, its launch was nowhere near as bad as Diablo 3, but it just kind of... I don't know. It just hasn't really kind of grabbed me, Diablo 4, like I was expecting it would. I know others have kind of fallen off it fairly hard as well. I mean, it's still a perfectly good ARPG in there, but I kind of think that Diablo 3 did it so much better, and certainly with the seasonal model that they're going for, like kind of the unlockable gear you get and kind of the unique builds you can put together with each season, really haven't kind of reached the heights of what was possible in Diablo 3. So yeah, so Diablo 4, again, perfectly inoffensive. I'm sure it's going to be coming to Game Pass at some point fairly soon now that that big old merger happened. So probably worth hanging on until then. Yeah, those were my three ones to watch.
I was really excited in this one because I kind of late to the party with three, but I think I filled up on the beta a bit too much. And then when the full game came out, I was like, yeah, I could probably wait. And now at this point,
yeah, don't overbeat
everyone I know that was big into it when it came out, it's they've all kind of fallen off it. So
there we go. So oh, those well. Were my three ones to watch, and watch them I did. Specifically Forspoken.
You played
watched
two
it
of them.
A lot, didn't play much. I played two of them, watched the other one. Right. So that was my three to watch, Tim. Some of yours you've been able to watch, but not all of them.
Only one came out and I have played, basically. So okay. That was, top of the list, Street Fighter VI. I thought that was an interesting one to watch because I was interested particularly what they were doing with the single player. But I liked all the components in this. Didn't play too much of the online, as I tend not to with these sorts of games. But myself and Coleman have messed around a bit. Not quite as much as I'd like. I'd like to play a bit more of it, especially if I actually bother to buy the extra characters for it as well. Again, as seems to become a function with a lot of fighting games, extra characters, they know they're the things that you want, so they make them extra expensive, unfortunately. But yeah, like overall, though, I think the game came out, was well received by most people. I certainly took to it quite well. I haven't gone back and played through more of the single player content, but I do like the stuff that I did play. There's quite a lot of it there, hence the fact that I didn't get through all of it. But I've been meaning to go back and actually just dabble and jump back into the single player stuff and wander around and do that. But yeah, like I think this was the best Street Fighter for a number of years, and I don't think it's been bad for the last few iterations. So yeah, I think this was an impressive game and probably the one that impressed most from my list of three that I had to watch. The second one was the only one of the ones I had. Well, I haven't played one because they didn't come out, and I haven't played one because I just haven't played it. But I keep on meaning to go play Atomic Heart. My problem there...
You shouldn't on an S.
Yeah, my problem there is it apparently doesn't function very well on the S. I think it's a graphical kind of... it's graphically very... that's one of the impressive things about it is the graphical side of things. And it doesn't sound like I'd get the full weight of that enjoyment from playing it on the S. So I was torn because I don't want to spend money on a game that I've already got access to. At the same time, I didn't want to play it on the S. So I ended up just not playing it at all, which was perhaps silly. Maybe I should just download it and play it on the S, and I might try and do that at some point over Christmas. I like the look of it. It still looks intriguing. It came out and it got sort of slightly mid reviews, and there was a few things about the open world thing that was a bit off and people didn't like so much.
And the also, writing.
Fair old chunk
and the
of
story and a few
well.
Other things about it. And yeah, a bit of controversy. Yeah. So there was enough things
that
just put me off
that
actually trying it.
Saying sexy things.
Yes. And yeah, so yeah. There was a few things to put me off. But I think the main thing was just the dilemma over I don't want to pay for a game that I've got access to for free, but at the same time, or, you know, for the payment of service that I pay for Game Pass. But at the same time, I don't want to play it on the S. And then, yeah, just ended up just not playing it at all. But yeah, no, I mean, I still think this one was a interesting game to see where it came from. I was a bit disappointed it didn't do anything with VR because it kind of touted itself as a VR game first and foremost, which is one of the reasons it came to my attention. And it's a bit of a shame it didn't do that. And again, if I think had it gone with VR, I would have actually ended up paying for it on PlayStation rather than not doing so. But
I think had it gone to VR, it would perform even worse than it currently
well,
does.
Says that as a possibility, yeah. But I don't know, the game still intrigues me. I still might play through it at some point, but I'm not in a massive rush to do so. And the other one that didn't come out at all, I suspected that this might be the case. I was a bit disappointed because the game developer has said that it will come out when it will come out. But it's just one I'm really looking forward to. It is a VR-based game, but it's it's a kind of massive. It's weird. It's kind of an open world game, but I don't know how much game is in there. And I think the longer it actually gets delayed, the more actual game might be put into the finished product. So that might actually benefit the fact that it hasn't come out yet. But it's by I think he's a solo developer, maybe with a bit of support from, you know, a few outside freelancers and stuff like that.
Volunteers.
But generally, it's a single solo developer.
Hey, fantastic. How are you doing?
A big game, and it looks, anyone that hasn't seen it or isn't watching the video version, it's a kind of massive Blade Runner-esque sort of slightly dystopian future in a cyberpunk type world. And yeah, it looks really interesting. The main sort of setup is that I think you're a cop in this environment, possibly. But exactly how that plays out, exactly, that's something we need to get more details on going forward. But it definitely, like, it's a big, interesting world that they've built, and it's something that looks like it's going to be interesting to explore. So, yeah, look forward to that one in the future as well.
God, this really reminds me of an Amiga game that I cannot... Oh, where you're kind of, like, in a smoggy city, in flying around kind of skyscrapers in... Oh, this is going to annoy me. I cannot... Remember. It's not the killing. I don't...
Reminds Google is your friend.
Is it Jeep? Reminds me of G-Police a little bit.
G-Police. Yeah, maybe that. No, it's not that game, but yeah.
Dan, ask me to describe lo-fi much quicker.
Describe lo-fi, Cole, man.
Blade Runner VR. Right, there my three.
Sorted.
First of all, I had WrestleQuest, which did come out this year. It was really nice and charming, very shibby, pixelated RPG, all centered around wrestling, but
wrestling.
It's in the style of all the wrestlers are toys. You're all in a toy box, and it's all different sections of the toy box, and there are wrestling figurines and other figurines, but all the toys, they wrestle. I really liked it. I got to a point where it was getting a little bit repetitive for me, so I did drop off it. I might go back to it at some point. I think the problem I had is, even though it is a simplified RPG, in the developer's words, it's an RPG for wrestling fans who don't play RPGs, and it's a wrestling game for RPG fans that don't play wrestling games. I liked that premise, but at some point I just kind of couldn't carry on with it, and I do want to go back to it because I wasn't enjoying it, but it was the grinding aspect that kind of took me off after a little while, which was a shame. So I did get to play that. Unlike Telltale's The Wolf Among Us 2, which I was incredibly excited for, even though Telltale Games is now a shell of its former self. As I described before, it's an imposter wearing a skin suit made from the victim that used to be Telltale Games. And
whoa, okay, the then.
Leonard's. No, because it's Telltale Games.
If ever wonder what Coleman looks like, tune into next week's episode of Crime Stoppers, I think.
It's Telltale Games wearing his name skin. Only. And the reason I was really excited for this is because The Wolf Among Us is one of my favorite Telltale games. It's one of my favorite adventure games. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Based off of, is it Vertigo who did Fables?
Yep.
Which basically DC.
Yep.
And it's all different fairy tale characters that are based in New York, and a specific part of New York where they have like magic cast over it, so the real world can't see them, and they disguise themselves from being their fairy tale characters into being humans. And yeah, it was something that I really enjoyed the last one, so I was excited for this one. But unfortunately, they've decided to move from Unreal Engine 4 to 5 because of technical issues, and they've pushed it back from 2023 to 2024. And learning my lesson from previous years, it means it does not carry over onto my ones to watch next year. I will just go, we're done. But I look forward to playing it at some point, and I hope that it's good. And one that I was hoping was going to be really good and was a little bit let down was Star Wars Jedi Survivor, a game that followed up from one of my favorite games of the last generation, and which was Jedi Fallen Order. And one that I was incredibly looking forward to, seeing how that story progressed and seeing how they were going to kind of build upon the mechanics set in the previous game. And when it came out, even though I was enjoying the story and the characters and all the new improvements and stuff, the technical limitations, it seems, of the current gen of not just the consoles, it had a lot of PC problems as well. It seems like this game needed a lot longer in the oven to be worked on. And even now that people are going, yeah, this game's much better than it was when it first launched on consoles, I have played it and it still looks fuzzy as hell when you're playing the performance mode. And I just can't look at it. It's the blurriness of these things moving around. It just makes me feel really sick when I play it. And when you had the bigger open areas that had a lot of slowdown and stuff, like the hub world, and then you kind of limit the graphics, that's what ruined it for me. So it was a shame. I was looking forward to this one, and I did enjoy the story, but I did not enjoy the technical limitations.
Boo. Oh.
Boo.
Boo.
All right. We should do our picks.
Yes.
Our games of the year. The rules are we can pick three each. We try not to overlap. So even though, say, we all liked Spider-Man 2, we're not all going to pick Spider-Man 2, because that will be boring for the listener/viewer. So we all try to pick something different. Dan, would you like to start us off with your first pick, please?
I would like to introduce you to a nice little game that I call, and everyone else calls because that's its name, Alan Wake 2 is what I would like to proffer forth as my first game. Okay? Good. Okay. So Alan Wake
hasn't sold well, for that one, which is not good.
No, it's a shame it hasn't sold that. I think the reason why it might not have sold so well is that I think really to get the most out of it, you still need to really kind of be aware of what happened in Alan Wake, and to also to a lesser degree Control as well. They all share a single universe, and I think possibly they didn't do a good enough job in like making people reaware again, as it were, of the original Alan Wake. And I think people were like, "Oh, I had no idea what the first Alan Wake was." So, yes, so Alan Wake 2, I think you're right, Tim. I think it was a critical success, but not necessarily a commercial success. And I think that's because people, frankly, just had forgotten that most people, unless they were kind of real diehard fans of what Remedy have done in the past, probably have kind of slightly forgotten about Alan Wake 2, or just like, oh, that was like on the Xbox 360. I'm not going to go back to that. And, you know, I remember it quite a complicated plot, so I'm not going to bother. It's a shame because I think Alan Wake 2 is a very worthy success to that game and advances not only kind of obviously the graphics side of things, which are obviously leaps and bounds above a two, three generation old console, but really in the way in which they told the story as well. I think it's got a corking story. They really lean into this kind of shared universe that all of their recent games inhabit, and that's done in a really nice way. It really does feel that it's kind of a modernization, I would say, of survival horror. I know some people weren't so happy about how much it lent into the survival horror side of things, but it's not overdone. I think it really kind of ratchets up the tension in a way that really complements what's going on in the story. Some people may find the lore a bit hard to keep track of, but it's worth persevering with. And there's lots of really great, innovative ways that they kind of engage you with the story, take some great twists and turns. They absolutely nail the delivery of this game, not only in terms of story, but the visual presentation, but also the audio as well. I can understand why people might not want to pay full price for it. I think there's almost certainly going to be some great, great deals on this game.
It wasn't a full-price game either, though. I saw it for £50 brand new. Like, I don't think they were selling it.
Yeah, I mean, but for some people who aren't massively familiar with the original, they might want it to drop a bit further than that, would be my thought. I mean, look, it's a game that's going to age very well in terms of its storytelling and the way it engages you. I would thoroughly recommend you pick it up. It's really, really a great game that you should check out. I think it's awesome. I think you'll have a great time playing it, if even vaguely survival or horror is your thing. And let's face it, we all quite like survival. So, not Survivor, I like the show. That was a bag of pants. But there we go.
I like how much you've enjoyed Alan Wake 2. And I'm still at the point where I'm going, I should really play Alan Wake.
Yeah.
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 It's loaded on the Steam Deck. It's ready to go.
Yeah, Alan Wake is a great game. Alan Wake is a great game as well.
Yeah, I've got that remastered version. I'm ready.
So my next one, and this is a late-breaking entry into my list because I talked about it last show, so I won't go on about it again too much, but this is Cocoon, that wonderful wonderful, kind of admittedly very short, but perfectly formed kind of adventure puzzle game from the guy who did Inside and Limbo. I won't go on about it too much more. It's just a perfectly judged, very well meted out puzzle game that layers on mechanics in a way that doesn't feel annoying or frustrating, and you know, has like all great puzzle games. I think I said this last week. You know, a puzzle game's done good when you don't get frustrated, and when you solve the puzzle, it makes you feel like a very clever chap or chapette.
Basically,
great design, great audio, great game.
Yeah, I said basically anything that's anything that's opposite to what Jonathan Blow makes you feel like.
Yeah,
I feel like whenever I play his games, he's standing next to me going, "You're doing it wrong." but yes, for more information on Cocoon, check out episode 571 of BIB UK, last week's episode.
Absolutely. And my final one, I think, Colm, this is one you kind of pointed me in the direction of.
Love this game.
Initially wasn't massively on my radar, but I'm very glad I checked it out, and that is Dave the Diver. You know, we won't get into is it an indie game, isn't it an indie game? But this is just...
Who cares?
Just a great little...
It's a game.
It's just a great little game. I just love this little game. I mean, you are an overweight dude or body confident man who's quite willing to get dressed up in a wetsuit just for funsies, and is basically helping get a sushi restaurant off the ground. And adventures are held within said sushi, the seas surrounding the sushi restaurant. It's a very quirky, super fun little game. It's kind of, it mixes it up. You're never doing the same thing for too long. Has a really satisfying gameplay loop that kind of what you do in one bit of the game immediately feeds into the other bit, which then feeds back into the other bit. It's great. There's a surprisingly great little story in here as well. You know, I could go on for longer. I know we're kind of very, very short on time, but I mean, come on. I mean, I just love the vibe of this game. I just thought it was just fantastic. It's a brilliant, brilliant match for your Massive Deke if you want to play on there. But I also understand it's available on Switch as well, and I'm sure is equally as fantastic there.
Yeah, I really enjoy my time with this. You keep going back to it every now and then as well, so it's got some staying power to it. It's got a nice story to it, but an addictive gameplay hook that kind of reminds me of sort of early Vlambeer iOS games, that kind of like ultimate fishing kind of thing. And not just in style, but that kind of addictiveness in one more run. So I really like that. But the kind of mini games in between break out enough for it to not get tiresome. And yeah, I'm glad you put it in your games of the year, because this was Bridget, I put like 8 in and kind of whittled it down from there. And that was one of the ones I picked. So I'm glad one of us got it.
Great game. There we go.
I recommend it. I also like that Gamers Confessional, I was listening to them and they pointed out that Dave the Diver looks like one of their hosts, Clarky. But he looks exactly like Clarky. And the minute they said it, I was like, oh my God, I did not notice this. Now that's all I see.
There we go. Okay. There's my three. All right. There's my three. I've done my three.
You want to do your three, Tim?
I could do my three if you like.
Swapped up the order by accident.
Okay, that's fine. My first pick is one that I don't think a lot of people will have on their games of the year, although I have heard other people speak about it in high regard. But it's one that snuck up on me and I played a demo I've talked about on the show before, but Dead Island 2. Really good open world zombie adventure game, first person, slightly melee focused, but with a lot of other long-range weaponry stuff as well, mainly guns. Recently I spoke about the DLC that it had, House, and that was good as well. Played that to completion. That was good. I think it's the game that I put the most hours into this year. We'll preface it slightly with the fact that I got a review code for it, but really enjoyed it. The only thing I would say is that the co-op was a bit fiddly, and I'd like to have got into more of that with some friends, but they made that slightly awkward, so that meant that you couldn't quite start the beginning of the game together and stuff like that. And there's a few things that would have been nicer if it had been smoothed out, but just playing it as a single player experience, I really enjoyed it start to finish. was good mechanically. Visually, I think it was really impressive. The actual sort of degradation of the zombies as they get covered in acid and other things that sort of you go through the different adventures, like the level of detail in the zombies was really good. I wouldn't have thought that a zombie game would be on my list. I didn't particularly gel with the previous Dead Islands, so I wasn't expecting to get on quite so well with this one, but snuck up on me and really surprised me. I really do think, especially if you can pick up a cheap copy over the Christmas period or whatever, or, you know, it's a good game to get stuck into, and yeah, it's got some meat and legs to it as well. There's quite a bit of content there. Even having completed the main story of the game and the house DLC, I think I've put in about 40 hours or so, and there's more game for me to play that I would quite like to play, and there's reasons to go back and replay it with a different character as well. So, yep, I really enjoyed that, and I think that's probably one of my biggest surprises of the year, but also probably one of my most played and most enjoyed games of the year. So, yeah, definitely gets my top of the list there, I think, generally. Going a little bit further down, we spoke about
it. Even though I didn't play the game, I really enjoyed the dev talk where they were explaining the system of just like how they've got the zombies stripping down to the bone and organs and stuff. And so, like, that's a really cool mechanic. I liked that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. And it's interesting to hear about, but it's actually good. Yeah, it's actually good to see in practice as well. So yeah,
I like it when I can wear their skin.
Arguably, all three of the games that I've actually picked for my Game of the Year's picks, and I cheated a little bit because I discounted anything that was on VR, because I'll cover that with Kev at some point.
I'll probably pick
some slightly different VR games of the year to give me a bit more room. But
all of the VR games released this year.
Arguably, three of my games this year have an open world element to them, which again is a bit surprising considering how bored I was with open world games prior to this year or the year before. Street Fighter 6, again, we spoke about it in the show, so I won't go too in-depth with it. But just from one-on-one... mainly me playing Coleman and then generally just playing through the single player content. That's been really good. Really enjoyed it. As I said, it's one of my favorite game franchises in general. And I think this is a high point for the series for at least a number of years, going back to maybe even the era of two. I think this is possibly one of the best Street Fighters in a number of years. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then also for rounding out my open world picks, and it's kind of snuck on there almost by default, but I couldn't think of something.
Two greatest words in the English language.
Yeah, default. But Spider-Man 2 just about gets in there for me. I think myself and Coleman both enjoyed it, and so it kind of wormed its way onto my list because it didn't get onto Coleman's list as well. But I do think if I was picking my three favourite games, this was the one that I would have probably taken out to put in a VR game instead. I really liked it. I don't think it lived quite up to the heights and the surprise of the first two games, but I still think it's a really high quality game. The gameplay was pretty good. And yeah, the open world was enjoyable. The traversal was good. Looks good. It was a good game. So I think it's a worthy addition to my list, basically.
I mean, I love this game. I platinumed it. And if you didn't put it on your game of this if you didn't pick it as one of your games of the year, then I would have swapped out one of mine with this, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But instead, I spoke about on last week's show, so I won't go into it too much. That is Avatar, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, and not Final Fantasy 16, as I was about to talk about there.
Yeah.
But yes, you talk about open world games. Two of mine are open world games this year, which is surprising as well, especially as everyone kind of called this one Ubisoft bloat and all the negative things along with it. But as I've learned from the internet this week, people are going to rag on any game that you like anyway. For instance, I was trying to find Spider-Man 2.
You
would
mate.
Not believe how many videos have rainbow flags with crosses through them saying Spider-Man 2 is woke trash. Okay, I must have missed that bit, that mission in the game, and I platinumed that game.
All right.
Oh, well.
Anywho, Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, I spoke about it last week. Open world, semi-survival, story-based, really enjoyable. As you progress further in that game, you got more... it's really fun to traverse, running around as a blue cat person, and I really like it. One that we've not spoken about this year, because we kind of just hinted to it every now and then, but there's been a lot of controversy around the creator of the franchise, so we have avoided it a fair bit out of respect. I think enough time has passed. Hogwarts Legacy is one of my favorite. Well, I mean, talking about a video game, a lot of work went into this video game from a very talented studio that, you know, lucky for them, even though there was a boycott and stuff in place, and they, you know, they're working for a studio that could have very well gone, hey, you did not sell enough copies, we're just going to close down your studio. And Avalanche is a very talented studio, so I'm glad that they did get the recognition. Well, not maybe the recognition, but the sales to keep on going. So I like that. This is one that, again, I'm not a fan of Harry Potter. I've never been a fan of Harry Potter. I watched all those films not long ago and kind of went, yeah, I see why kids like these. And
wait, I'm a middle-aged man.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, I get the appeal, but it's not my kind of thing. But when I played the game, I was like, okay, I'm actually kind of interested in the lore of Harry Potter just through osmosis of playing this game. But more so, it was the environments and stuff, wanting to see kind of the... Because it is all based off the films, the location, and I wanted to kind of see that one-to-one scale, and it is really, really cool. I enjoyed that. The main reason is this, since 1.5 or Chapters or Chronicles, or whatever they called it, this is probably the best Fable game I've played in a long time. So until Playground hurry up and release Fable, the next Fable game, the Hogwarts Legacy is my favorite Fable game currently. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. The last one on my list, big innovation into a video game series that we've not seen before, and that is Super Mario Brothers Wonder on the Nintendo Switch. They've taken the formula of Super Mario, specifically like the U series, the 2D, 3D aspect type thing, or the 2D with 3D models, and kind of still followed that, made it a bit more approachable for people that may not really be into Mario games, or younger audience members or something, but then made it more challenging in other ways for more diehards to the series. There's stuff that kind of flips it on its head and subverts expectations. Things like the whole thing with this wonder seed, you catch a wonder seed and it will change up the level that you're playing on, be that you're doing a side scroller, then all of a sudden you're doing a top down kind of tank simulator type thing, or all these piranha plants start singing a song and you've got to survive throughout the song. That's a little bit Rayman origins and legends in style. But yes, thoroughly enjoyable. I went all the way through. I have not since Odyssey. I mean, well, that's pretty recent. Odyssey's like one of the few Mario games that I actually sat down and from the moment of playing that game had to get all the way through it. And Wonder is now one of those Mario games that I've done that with. So yeah, really, really good. Really recommend that one. So that's three games I recommend this year.
Excellent.
Those are my games of the year.
Those are, I would argue, those are nine pretty awesome games that if you haven't, no, Coleman, no, put the wrestling game away, Coleman. That's okay. That's not the wrestling game. Those are extra games. Those are extra. No, Coleman,
you can't see it, Dan.
What?
It's got John Cena. You can't see him.
I know. I can't. Who? All I see is Coleman just holding an empty PS5 jewel case in front of me. Anyway, so there we go. Those are ones that we did watch and had varying opinions of, and ones that actually ended up being our nine favourite games of 2023. Let us know what your favourite games of 2023 were. We'd love to hear. And hey, we'd probably quite like to play them as well if we ourselves have not played them already. I'm going to try and... Coleman is distracting me in my peripheral vision on the video side list by just waving every PS5 game he bought this year in front of the camera.
I was just like to point out that I was the only one that had one in my list of ones to watch that was also in my favourite three of the year.
That's so only because you're a lazy scroat and you didn't want to look up another game to talk about.
I mean,
also, like, there are titles yeah, in our list that didn't get a release date until this year. So we none of us picked one. I would have put Spider-Man 2 as my one to watch, but it didn't get a date until halfway through the year.
Yeah.
So until we invent time traveling, that's going to be always a challenge for us, let's face it. So
I'm on it.
You're on it. I'd also quite like time travel, so I would have enough time to play some Baldur's Gate 3 so I can actually make it one of my best of 2020.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
Because I've got a feeling that had I had the time to play it, it would have been one of my best of 2023.
Ooh.
So
I just like catch a horrible disease and take some time off work.
COVID. The world tried that in 2020. Didn't turn out so well, just going to say, all right?
I mean, it was good for time off.
Was it, though? I would rather not have had COVID, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I worked through it.
Oh, you're a brave little soldier, Coleman. Mm-hmm. Who hates his co-workers and wanted to infect them.
No. This is when we had remote.
Oh, I know.
I could still do remote and work from home, but I had to work through having COVID.
It's not good. Anyway, that was our games of 2023. We think you should go and play them, because they're all quite splendid. Okay, so that is your lot. We're going to continue peppering you with little bite-sized nuggets of podcasting stuff to get you through this Christmas season so you don't miss us. Coleman is enjoying now thinking of peppering. He's gone for the... Coleman likes the old giant... The old giant phallus of the
massive
massive pepper phalluses that you only see in Italian restaurants and that are completely inexplicable. That's his favourite one. So
black pepper
something
mill,
else
my game of the year.
Coleman. Yeah. So we're gonna go because Coleman wants me to stop. We'll be back fairly soon. You should have a lovely, lovely rest of your holiday period. Listen to us again because we'll be back before the end of it. And until next time, dear listeners, all that remains for me to do is continue being distracted by Coleman as he waves stuff in the corner of my eye in the video feed. I've been Dan.
I might have been Dan.
Forspoken has been the low-key game of the year. I have been Coleman.
No, it hasn't. Really, and you don't start me off. You want me to do a quick outro, really, I'm going to do a quick outro. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bum.
You and your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.